Hello, I'm Astrid.
And I'm Sophie. This is Not By Accident, a documentary podcast series about choosing to become a single mother and coping with being one.
Not By Accident, a podcast about me and my mum.
If this is the first time you're listening, I recommend you go back and start at episode one. This is episode 5, Travels Through the First Trimester. My body has seriously never looked better naked. My breasts are growing. Everything is soft, plump and trim in all the right places. I curse the fact that nobody but me will see, but feel fortunate I don't have to negotiate a physical relationship. They hurt so much they wake me up at night. I also have to get up to pee every few hours. I'm so tired. I dread brushing my teeth because of the morning sickness. Foods taste different. I can't get enough of pink grapefruit and nectarines. I'm put off by the smell of beer. I never thought that could happen. I'm vague and forgetful. Pregnancy brain, I suppose. And happy that the holidays have begun so work won't suffer. I expect my usual back pain to worsen, but it disappears. The hormone relaxin has miraculously done the reverse of what I'd been told to expect. No sign of the stretch marks or varicose veins I'd been dreading either. But pimples start to appear on my back. Ugh. My body won't let me push through the exhaustion. I plan to swim and go to the gym, but instead I nap. Often. I stare for hours at the fetus images on my pregnancy tracker app, but make a deal with myself never to jump ahead. I want to know exactly where you're up to and not wish it away. Knowing you're growing in there is the most surreal and profound experience I've ever had.
Week 6.
You are the size of a lentil and have a little tail. Your digestive system and lungs are starting to grow, as well as your spinal cord and brain nerves. Your heart can now beat for itself, about 80 times a minute, keeping up with tainted love. Summer holidays have begun, and nobody is left here but me, and the influx of tourists who ensure, with my help, that the many ice cream businesses in town prosper for the few months of the year that they're open. I shouldn't be alone. I need to travel to avoid that. But my low energy makes it feel overwhelming.
You know, this year I just felt like I've travelled so much alone. I don't really feel like it anymore. I'm not getting much pleasure out of it anymore. I want to share things.
It's hard and it's expensive and
it just feels a bit pointless if you can't share it. And I do like travelling alone for bits. And I guess in about... well, I don't know, what, 5 years? I'll have someone to share it with then who sort of understands what's going on.
No, I think, as I said to you the other night, I think you're going to find, you know, having that little person who's you're responsible for, is you're not going to feel lonely anymore.
I hope so.
I mean, it's not the same as having a close relationship with...
No, but I know it will make a big difference. It would be nice to have someone who would care for me sometimes too, though.
Yeah, well, I feel that too, Sophie.
I feel less lonely already, knowing you're in there. I'm not having you to protect me from loneliness, but it's a happy thought, sharing the wonderful things in life with you. I start to make calls to see who's home and up for a visitor. I have 5 weeks to fill. The fifth is locked in. My brother Nick has realised I need to spend time with family before I have.
I've paid for my ticket and I've got my passport in application happening.
Okay, good. One thing I discovered, I don't know if you've looked at the Iceland flights.
I did have a quick look today and I thought if I found something that was really cheap.
Yeah. So I think the ideal thing to do would be to go to Iceland and rent a car.
Okay.
And then be free to drive around. What do you think about that?
And go and see some of the crazy landscapes.
Yeah.
His visit feels like an anchor keeping me from being set adrift. We Skype for hours, making plans and talking about the things my mind is consumed by. Pregnancy, work, birth, logistics. What my future might look like.
At some point soon, I'm going to announce that I'm not going to be able to finish the year.
How soon are you going to do that?
Well, not until around the time the students arrive, probably.
And how long will you say you'll stay for?
I guess I'll stay till Christmas.
Oh, really?
And then
you have to come back when you can fly.
Yeah, unless I have it.
Or are you gonna give birth over there?
Yeah, I don't know yet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I mean, I really don't want to do it alone.
Who's there that could be with you?
Nobody much. If
none of us could come.
And Charlotte definitely can't come.
No. What will she? Where will she be up to?
She will have a 3-month-old.
Oh, really?
Mm.
I don't know, but, you know...
I don't know.
It'd be a lot. You'd have a lot more support if you...
I know. But I have to look at what it's going to cost, and if I do it there, does that mean I lose out on a year's pay?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that wouldn't be too good.
No. I've been having this image of being here in this apartment alone. The nearest hospital is an hour away. And thinking, okay, my water's broken. Better call a taxi.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a bit sad.
Yeah. Yeah, and then call home and say, hey, guess what I'm doing? Like I did when I was going to be inseminated.
I doubt it would come to that, but you never know. I mean, no one came to my party. Where would she be living?
Where would I be living?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that either.
Nick helps me crystallise my thoughts, my priorities, and see the gaps. Where will I live if I stay in Denmark? I live on campus in an apartment meant for teachers. Would I have to give it up during maternity leave for my replacement? I'm starting to lose control of fundamental parts of my life and I can't see beyond Christmas. I pack my wheelie suitcase and load my Kindle with essential holiday reading. What to expect when you're expecting. Choosing single motherhood. Single by chance, mothers by choice. The complete single mother. Knock yourself up. Sperm donor equals dad. And of course, my miserable, lonely lesbian pregnancy. I finally get it together and fly to Norway to stay with my friend Shesti, who I know will be kind and offer the emotional support I crave. Oslo is beautiful in the summer. Another friend, Cecilia, is here too. The three of us studied together many years ago. Cecilia takes me out on a boat to an island in the fjord. The sun is warm but not hot, and shines until almost midnight. It's hard to imagine anything more peaceful. Shesti and I have long lazy days visiting cafes, parks, going to the movies, curling up on the couch to talk for hours. Sometimes after even the most gentle walk, I need to urgently sit and rest to catch my breath. She adjusts to my pace and indulges my need to talk and talk and talk. When she's at work, I keep talking to my mum in Australia.
And she excited so for about...
She cried when I told her.
Did you not tell her until you got there?
No.
Oh.
I'm so lucky to have friends like this, friends who really care. I have great friends scattered around Europe, but they're coming and going, making the most of the Euro summer. I've left it late to organise, but start to piece something together on a budget, keeping it loose while I wait to hear back.
So I'm here until Tuesday. And then, because I was trying to figure out where to fly next, that where I could get an affordable flight. And I got a flight for $100 down to Bergamo. My plan was to fly to, well, either go to Munich or Berlin next. But it may be that they're away. People do go away at this time. Yeah. Oslo's quite empty, except of tourists.
Week 7.
You are still an embryo, but twice as big as a week ago. Now the size of a pine nut. Bumps are growing that will slowly become your arms and legs. I fly to Italy next. I settle on Padua, an old city not far from Venice, but not swarmed by tourists. It's perfect. I explore the winding alleys on foot in the mornings, gently, and in the afternoons, I retreat to my hotel to avoid the heat. I read, I think, I nap, and I Skype.
That's good that it's 7 weeks already. Because that means I'm more than halfway through the danger period. And you might notice I'm eating all the time. It's quite annoying because I'm putting on weight. I'm not hungry, but as soon as I go for half an hour without eating something, I feel really sick. There's this bird that's just... This happens almost every day. A bird just ran across the little kind of railing thing outside with a couple of worms in its beak.
Oh.
And almost every day, yes, a bird runs from one end to the other with, like, something hanging out of its beak.
It must have some babies in a nest at the other end, taking worms to feed its babies.
Yeah, it must be.
I wander downstairs in the evening to the quiet pizzeria in the courtyard below. There is just enough to explore and take in to satisfy my romantic notion of Italy. But not so much I feel I need to move fast not to miss out. I study the image of the 7-week-old embryo in my app and read parts of What to Expect When You're Expecting over and over, especially pregnancy and a single mother, and having a baby after 35. I search for something that isn't there, hungry for information to know what my future and your future may hold.
So there's only 5 weeks left until you can tell people? Is that right? It depends on your work, though. Work, yes. Depends when you tell work.
Does it?
Well, don't you want to make sure they don't hear without you telling them?
Well, yeah, but they're kind of unlikely to hear, as long as no one writes them on Facebook.
Right, yeah. Well, that could easily happen.
Yeah.
Could say, how's it going with trying to have a baby?
Yeah. Maybe I should disable my Facebook for a while.
Oh, maybe.
I'm starting to realise that the total control I'd taken over my life to take this huge step is slipping away from me. My body, my circumstances, my story. I'm losing my grip.
Week 8.
You have webbed hands and the first sign of ears. Now you're as big as a peanut, curled around so your little tail meets your head, which houses a brain that's rapidly developing a full nervous system. Your heartbeat can now keep up with Stevie Wonder's Superstition. I catch the train to Verona and visit the balcony where the fictional Juliet longed for Romeo. It's crowded with couples in love. Every bit of the arch tunnel leading in is covered with little graffitied messages of love, and millions of wads of chewed gum stuck on by lovers to hold their notes. Symbolic padlocks are linked to everything that protrudes, every tree, every vine, every gate. I can't stop laughing to myself. People must wonder. I feel delighted by the irony of standing in this temple of romantic love as a single pregnant lesbian. Even better, my due date is Valentine's Day. I don't feel lonely. I'm filled with love too. I travel by train to Munich to stay with a family who are my childhood neighbours, posted to Canberra as German diplomats in the 80s. They are like my family in Europe, the home I've gone to when I've needed nurturing.
Like 9.
You're now cashew-sized, and your body has grown as big as your head. You have eyelids. Your lips and nose are more pronounced, and your tiny webbed fingers and toes look more like hands and feet. I return to the big, warm, sun-filled house outside Munich, which has always made me feel calm and safe. The parents live upstairs, and their daughter, my childhood friend, lives downstairs with her husband and 3 small boys. I'm nervous to tell them what I've done. It takes me a day or two, but they immediately embrace me and my growing baby. They treat me with such care. We take a cable car to a mountaintop in the Bavarian Alps for lunch. When we make our way down, I feel my heart working hard. But I want to walk, to take in the pristine views, the sound of cowbells, this clean air. These days are calm and joyful. I sit in the garden with tea and my favourite plum cake and watch the children play, imagining you joining them.
Week 10.
Now you're officially a fetus, 50% bigger than last week. Your tail is gone, as has the webbing between your fingers and toes. Bones are forming and your liver and kidneys start to function. You can wee. I say goodbye and stare out the train window and dream as I travel across Germany to Berlin. I feel happy, grateful, but fragile. My old friend Andreas has invited me to stay with him in his apartment in Prenzlauer Berg, where I've stayed many times. A heat wave in the city and a busy man, he races to adrenaline-fueled deadlines. He gives up his bed for me. Such an act of kindness and care. We have some great summer days, eating in excellent local restaurants, travelling to Potsdam to explore the elaborate palaces, gardens and castle. Berlin, with its layers of history at every turn, is virtually ignored on this visit. Instead, days on the couch, too exhausted to explore. When we part, I'm emotional. I feel myself grieving aspects of the life I've lived until now.
Week 11.
You and the placenta that supports you are growing at a cracking pace. Your ears and hearing structures are almost ready. You're 4 centimetres long and looking more like a tiny person. I am filled with gratitude for my friends who have saved me from myself this summer. I'm fighting my hormones, willing my optimism to return. It's starting to work. I fly to London. A woman gives me her seat on the airport bus. I guess the world can see I'm pregnant. I'm met by Tash at the station and taken home. We will laugh a lot in these coming days. I can count on Tash for that. And Nick will arrive tomorrow. She carries my bag. I'm unused to this treatment and fight my no thanks, I can manage reflex. It's time to start accepting offers of help and being grateful for them. We order an Indian feast, home delivery. My focus starts to shift from the overwhelming practicalities to the joy of where I am and the excitement of this little person who will soon be in my life. I'm wearing a blue striped dress, t-shirt-like. Tash suddenly has a vision of me and my little girl in a matching striped dress with matching blonde curly hair, walking together holding hands. I can see it. This becomes the vision I have in my happiest moments. I think of it often in the months ahead, whenever I have a moment to close my eyes and dream. I try not to fixate on the gender. I don't know your gender yet. I don't want to be disappointed. I adjust the outfit accordingly and try to expect that you won't have my hair either. I can't imagine how you'll look if not like me. But you probably won't look like me, you'll look like you. This vision is now my everyday reality. Then we try to avoid matching outfits. There are times I look down at you and I cannot believe this is real. Nick flies in and I feel so happy. The Olympics are on in London, so there's extra atmosphere. Tash takes time off work and we show Nick some of the sights, with plenty of breaks for me, and spend an afternoon in a park with giant screens and thousands of people shouting at them. When Australia wins gold, we shout too. In no time, we're off to Iceland. Nick is travelling very light, like me. His biggest, heaviest item is a present from my sister, the Australian Pregnancy Bible Up the Duff. I immediately realise how homesick I am when I dive in. Cultural familiarity is so comforting. The book informs me my uterus is now the size of a small melon, which explains why my pants are so tight.
Week 12.
You're starting to move, but I can't feel it yet. Now you're 5 centimetres, 2 inches long. Your little face has a human profile, and tooth buds are growing inside your mouth. Muscles are developing and your reflexes are starting to work. You can gasp, suck, and even get the hiccups. Your heart has sped up to 150 beats a minute. Now it's beating in time with my Sharona. From the moment we set foot in Iceland, we're spellbound by the landscapes. Unexpectedly diverse and like nothing we've seen in the world. The sun barely sets. Nick can't get over how much I eat at breakfast. Ensuring reliable, regular and plentiful food intake for me becomes the framework for our daily itinerary. We hire a car and poor Nick has to do all the driving. On the wrong side of the road for an Australian too. I couldn't get an international license in time. I try not to be a backseat driver, but I am. We head southwest along the ring road that circles the island. Our CD player doesn't work, but it's okay. The landscapes invoke Björk and Sigur Rós all by themselves. We drive and drive, stopping when we discover magnificent waterfalls, rounding mountains to be faced with giant ice caps. Nick climbs to the top of everything while I rest below. We drive through the volcanic ash fields that grounded global air traffic 2 years earlier. We make it all the way to the glacier lagoon, where icebergs, some as big as buses, drift peacefully after breaking off the ice cap. Nick and I are compatible travel companions. He's calm, thoughtful, equally excited by this country and delighted by the same details. He supports me in navigating the external and internal terrain. It's utterly surreal to be a tiny figure in these astounding landscapes, and at the same time to be so focused inwards, to be so aware of you there inside me. The captivating wonder of each somehow feels symmetrical and profound.
That really got me when Charlotte said that she'd booked the babies in to daycare on the same day.
Yes.
What babies? There'll be 2 babies.
How cute for that baby?
That's amazing.
How could I possibly pick up 2 of them at the same time? I couldn't.
You will have to get one of those double prams.
I have to have someone to help me pick them up. I have to get 2 car seats in the back of the car.
Yeah. That's just crazy. 2 babies.
My parents were about to triple their number of grandchildren just like that. I feel stronger as I prepare to return to real life. I can see now I need to pave 2 paths while I figure out which one to take. So many things to try and understand, to arrange. 2 possible new lives, 1 in Denmark and 1 in Australia. 2 cultures, 2 systems, 2 midwives, 2 hospital bookings, 2 childcare places. 1 baby.
When you were a tiny baby in my tummy, what did you used to do?
Play in your tummy.
You used to play?
Yes.
And sometimes you used to dance.
But there's some TVs in your show in there.
Is there?
And some toys in there and some chairs.
Some chairs?
It was delicious in there.
It was delicious, was it?
And I just squashed you.
You did squash me sometimes.
I did squash me in there.
Yeah.
Because I was growing in there.
You were growing really fast in there.
Because why?
Because that's what little tiny babies do before they come out of their mummy's tummies.
In the next episode, summertime is over, baby. 13 weeks, the second trimester. I return to Denmark, to my first scan, to work, and to break the news of my pregnancy. It's going to be a very big week. Thanks to my family, my friends, and my daughter for allowing me to record and for all your support. This is an independent production made by me, Sophie Harper. Music by Broke for Free, Connor, Chris Zabriskie, Dexter Britton, Silence is Sexy, and Baby Blue. Story input from Michelle Webster, Kathy Gray, and Diana Lampe. The next episode will be released in 3 weeks. Go to notbyaccident.net to find out more. Please subscribe and leave me a review in iTunes to help the series find more listeners. And if you know anyone who might like to listen, please share.
Goodbye, everyone.